I'm Georgie Crawford. This is the Good Glow Podcast with Bonnie Ryan. We all have a story, and I believe by telling these stories, we can inspire and empower each other on our self-care journey. This season, I've teamed up with L'Oreal Professional Paris. You probably know that I'm a big fan of good hair, and the SteamPod 3.0 with patented steam technology is the go-to hairstyler for pros. The best thing is, whether you feel like creating natural-looking waves or want to go straight and sleek, the SteamPod can do both. The 3.0 is now thinner and lighter for improved comfort when styling. It has an integrated water tank for steam, a continuous steam flow, and heat control for less damaging styling. Available in L'Oreal Professional Partner Salons nationwide. Before we get into this week's podcast, I wanted to say a massive thank you for all the messages after my podcast with Courtney Smith last week. Whoa, we were both so blown away by the reaction, and I know Courtney is extremely grateful for all the love and the messages, and it meant so much to her. So thank you to you for being such a wonderful community and making this such a safe place for people to tell their stories. We all seem to be falling over black feathers this week, and I got up to, I'd say, 100 messages from people finding black feathers. They were flying in people's windows. Their dogs were bringing them to them. Their kids were bringing them to them. They were everywhere. And black feathers are a really good sign because they're encouragement from the spiritual world to remind you to keep on going even when times get tough. So make sure to keep your eyes out for those black feathers this week. And thanks as well for all the tags about your five-star moments. It's been amazing to see the little and the big things that bring you joy every single day. And I've seen a lot of blue skies this week. So please continue to tag me in your five-star moments because I absolutely love to see them. A couple of weeks ago, I went to France on this gorgeous trip with La Roche-Posay. It's probably a story for another day, but we went to a thermal center in the countryside of France, and it was so emotional to hear the stories of people who go there for healing. And on that trip, I got to hang out with two soul sisters, Sive Higgins and Bonnie Ryan. Bonnie and I got to spend a lot of time getting to know each other, and I was really fascinated to hear more about her morning routine because I've seen her posting about it. So she says getting up earlier every single morning has changed her life. So I decided this week to try it for myself. So I set my alarm for 6 a.m. every morning this week. And when I tell you that I had so many breakthroughs, I started listening to The Miracle Morning by Hal Elrod on Monday. And oh my God, this book, there is so many brilliant tips in it about waking up earlier. And I've already finished that book. So basically, your miracle morning doesn't have to be a 5 a.m. start. A miracle morning simply consists of giving back to yourself first thing before you start giving to everyone else. It can be 2 hours long or 6 minutes long, whatever works for you. And that's the key. It has to work for your life. Longtime listeners of this podcast will know that I struggle sometimes and things are getting really busy for us at the moment. So this week is the type of week where I would typically spiral a bit and start to have feelings of panic and start to feel myself being pulled down a little bit of a hole. So after getting up every morning this week earlier, meditating for a couple of minutes and either going out for a walk or a jog or a swim or just having a slower morning at home, I couldn't believe how much happier and positive I felt. I felt literally high on life, and I did not expect that to happen whatsoever. I'm also in bed earlier and I'm sleeping better and I feel calmer and I feel genuinely happier because I have time. So usually when we wake up in the mornings, we start giving to other people straight away, like we're getting the kids ready or we're legging it out the door to go to work, and we're just give to our outer world all the time. But what about our inner world? What about giving to ourselves first? And my miracle mornings have actually given me so many five-star moments this week. I think that's why I'm so happy. So I'm getting, you know, smiles when I'm out on a walk or on the beach. I'm seeing the best of the day, which is the beautiful sun first thing in the morning, you know, listening to the birds or the waves, feeling proud of myself as I make my way home before 8 a.m. And these things every single morning have lifted me so much higher, I can't even explain it. So maybe this week, set your alarm a little earlier. It could be 2 hours earlier or 10 minutes earlier. Do something for yourself and let me know if it gives you a five-star moment. And thank you, Bonnie Ryan, for the nudge to create these mornings for myself. Thank you also, Bonnie, for opening up about your incredible dad, Jerry Ryan, who everybody loved, and speaking so honestly and openly about your life. You're so special. And I hope everyone listening loves this episode. Before we get into Bonnie, just to let you know that our retreat is happening in September in the stunning Wicklow Escape. We've got forest bathing, cooking classes, movement and yoga, group circles where we'll sit down together. We put together a pretty special weekend. It's two nights of complete switch off to help you give back to yourself. The food is out of this world. It's all included. And we'll sit together each night with some good tunes, wine if you like, and we're just going to have a super soul time. I'll leave a link in the show notes if you'd like to check out some more information. But for now, let's get to Bonnie. Bonnie, thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today. How are you?
I'm so good. I'm so excited to be doing this. I listen to all of your podcasts, so I'm just so thankful to be on it today.
Oh, thank you. And I know that we had a brief chat last year, I think it was, and you'd listened to the Mel Robbins one and you found that really helpful. And I'm fascinated by your personal development and all of the things that you do. So I'm excited to have a deep dive into it today. We got to spend 3 days together a couple of weeks ago. And like I said, you know, you're very into personal development, and I got to hear all about your routine and the things that you do. And I was fascinated by it. So really excited to jump into that. First of all, how are you? How have you been?
Really good. Like really, really good. Things are busy. Which is a good complaint to have. I like being busy. And yeah, I feel like I'm just in a really nice place in my life at the moment.
You certainly seem that way when we were in France. And it was so nice to get to know you a little bit more, because I know Lottie and she's been on the podcast. So I'm so glad that we finally get to sit down. So one of the things that I'm most interested about, Bonnie, is your morning routine. And we spoke about this. I think we're on a bus ride back from a castle, and we spent about 20 minutes talking about your morning routine. And I absolutely loved the insight into your life. So tell us a little bit about your morning routine. What time does your day start at?
So my day starts at about 5:30. I'll get up. I go to the gym. So I'll go and do a workout. Then I go on a walk. We bring the dog on a walk along the seafront near where we live. We get a coffee, come home. I do a little bit of meditation. And then I have a breakfast, and then I start my work day. So I feel like I've heard this on loads of different podcasts I listen to as well. They say, like, you know, when you conquer your morning, you conquer your day. And I really feel like that. Like, I feel like when I feel like I've really nailed my morning routine, I know the rest of the day is going to be good.
Yeah. And it hasn't always been that way for you, has it? So tell us when this started for you.
No, I wasn't always a morning person. Like when I was young, even going to school, like my dad would have to come into my bedroom in the morning and he'd turn my light on before he'd leave for work. And he'd be like, are you up? Are you up? Am I going to have to call again? So like I struggled to get out of bed in the mornings. But I moved out of my house, like my family home, 3 years ago. I bought a house with John and I went from living in a house with all my brothers and sisters and my mom and, you know, everyone's friends were always over and it was a super busy place to be, to living, you know, on my own with my boyfriend. And, you know, he'd be going to work during the day and I work from home. So it was the first time in my life I was kind of like, you know, day to day on my own. And very quickly after we moved in together, he went on a work trip for 2 weeks that he had to go away for. And it was the first time in my whole life I'd ever been by myself. Like I've never, ever spent a prolonged amount of time on my own. And I was like, I feel like as well, when I moved out of my family home and I wasn't with my siblings anymore, we're all so close. So I kind of was in a bit of a funny place in my life when I moved out initially. And that paired with also it being a really exciting time in your life was a weird combination of being really happy and excited about something. But I also was feeling a little bit lost as well. And I wasn't getting up early and I felt like I was kind of in a bit of a downward spiral. I was sleeping in, I wasn't that motivated. And just, I know a lot of people go through times in their life where you just feel a little bit lost and you don't feel like you. And anyway, skip to John went away for 2 weeks. And it was that time when I was completely on my own. I was like, oh my God, like I have nobody else to rely on to make me happy or get me up or, you know, spur me on. I was like, I really have to take it was a very awakening moment. I was like, I have to take control of my life or else like, when am I going to be happy? I don't want to rely on other people to make me happy. I have to motivate myself. I need to be my own cheerleader. I need to get myself up out of the bed and go. So it was like I think it was only like the second day he was gone. And I just said, I'm going to get up tomorrow at 5:30 and I'm just going to start walking. I'm just going to go and I'm just going to walk and I'm just going to see what happens. And by the time he got back 2 weeks later, he was like, where the hell is the person who I left? Like you're a different person. He was like, you're up at the crack of dawn. I was like eating really healthy. I was putting things in place. It was just the strangest thing. It was like I had this little bit of a window where I was just on my own and my whole entire life changed and it's never been the same since.
Wow. And that's what really struck me is that when you say that you went from living in this really busy house and when you're living with other people, it's really easy to just, you know, do what they're doing. Yeah. And then you left and then John left and it was the first time in your life you were left alone. You were allowed to let the whispers in of what you actually needed yourself. And then you just went and did it. And that 2 weeks alone allowed you to ask yourself, what do I need? And that's what you created. So that was 3 years ago, was it?
Yeah, this week, 3 years ago.
So did John then start to wake up earlier with you when he came home?
Yes, he is now fully engrossed in the morning routine. So for the first while, he was like, just because this is the way I'm living, I'm going to push it on you kind of person. So for the first while, I was kind of getting up and, you know, doing it myself. And then I think when he saw such a change in me, like it kind of, he was like, I want to get up early and I want to write in a journal. And now he would write in his journal too for gratitude. And he comes to the gym and we have our morning walk. And now we both say that time that we spend together in the morning is our most special time of the whole day.
I started reading The Morning Miracle and I spoke to you about this book. And this book has been on my shelf for so long and on my list for so long. But sometimes, as you know yourself, Bonnie, it's so hard to get through all the books and all the podcasts. But I started listening to it last week, knowing that I was going to talk to you about your morning routine. And this book is so fascinating. What I found really interesting, so The Morning Miracle is the 6 habits that will transform your life before 8 a.m. And it's all about getting up early and giving to yourself before you give to the rest of the world. So when I worked in radio, I used to get up at 5 a.m. and I used to like jump in the shower, run out the door. And I thought that I was one of these like super successful people that get up really early and fit loads into my day. But actually what I was doing is I was fitting more into my day for other people. So yeah. What I found interesting about this book and your morning routine is that you're getting up to work on your own personal self-development before you give to the rest of the world. So you're not getting up at 5:30 in the morning to start work. You're starting work on yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's me getting up, having that time just for myself to be certain that like I get into my day, no matter how busy the day gets after 9 o'clock when I start working or whatever I have to do. I had those few hours at the start of the day where I did the things that were really important to set me up right for the day. So yeah, exactly. Like it's not for anybody else. It's not me legging it around being like, have to fit in doing this for someone or get this done. It's me getting up and really feeling like, okay, I started the day as me as well. Do you know sometimes people roll out of bed and you kind of just roll into the day and you don't feel exactly yourself? Like I feel like when I get up and I do this morning routine, I've really started the day as me and the person that I want to be.
Yeah. And I think that when we work on our inner world, it transforms our outer world. And I think for so long and for so many years, there's so many of us just giving to the external world and not thinking about our inner world. So it's important, I suppose, to sit down, think about what works for you. And look, not everyone can get up at 5:30 in the morning and do things for themselves, but it could be 10 minutes or it could be, you know, even 5 minutes. And there is an interesting chapter in this book about a 6-minute miracle morning routine. So it doesn't have to be a couple of hours. You could just do one thing for yourself in the morning. I loved what you said there about like, and I really got an insight into this when we spent some time together, that, you know, your family, your tribe, they are your heart and soul. And you said that you still see them, you know, every Sunday, every weekend, you spend all your time together. What do they mean to you?
Oh, everything. And I know everyone always says, oh, my family are the best ever. But like, I don't know how I got so lucky with them. They're actually my best friends in the world. And I would choose to do life with them over anybody in a heartbeat. Like even just yesterday, my little brother came over and we just were sitting in the back garden in the sun. And I was just like, this is just life. Like we're sitting in my back garden, the sun is shining and we're just like laughing and having fun together. And they just mean everything to me. We have so much fun together. You know, there's nobody, and I suppose this is the same for all families, but there's nobody who has gone through this life that I've lived except for them. So they get me. They know, like, you know, they've had the struggles that I've had. They've had the happy moments that I've had. And I think we're just so bonded by our life. And I just appreciate them more than I can even say.
And was it, did you feel different to other kids growing up? Because obviously you guys were so well known and, you know, there's a lot of interest in your family. Like, did you find that hard at times?
I really just didn't know any different. I think half of me knew that, like, obviously it's a little bit strange walking around with your family and there's people like shouting over, you know, hey, Jerry. And like, you're kind of like, how do these people know? But also it was a little bit normal because that was like, I just didn't know any different. Like I was born and he was who he was by the time I even came along. So I was aware that people knew who we were, but it just didn't seem that weird to me.
Yeah. And as you are getting older, Bonnie, do you think you've grown to appreciate more the impact your dad had on the world?
Yeah, I really do. we talk about my dad all the time. And I think even as I get older, I'm just like, and like, I am trying to create a life for myself and my own things, and whether it's work, relationship, or whatever it is, I just, what he did, I'm so much more like aware. I was just so young when my dad passed away. So like, you know, I knew, oh, he's good at his job, but now I'm like, oh my God, like there was something so magic about him that like everybody just felt like Jerry's my best friend. Like he really yeah. was like a friend to everybody. And I'm like, what an incredible gift to have that like you make people feel that way. Like, so I feel so special that like that's who my dad was and that he had such a big impact on our whole country. And I'm like, I got to have him for 17 whole wonderful years. And like, to me, he was just magic.
Does it get any easier? Like Jamie lost his dad 5 years ago. And some days I just don't think it gets any easier.
I think it does and it doesn't, in the sense of like, you don't always wake up and have that feeling in the pit of your stomach, you know, that shock of oh my God, my dad's not here. And, you know, not in a cruel way, but like, you know, you don't wake up and he's not the first thing that's on my mind anymore, which I'm grateful for, because that's too painful. And I also really think now that anyone who has lost somebody, whether it's a parent or a friend, like you will go on to have a really happy life. Even though you've gone through something so sad, you are able to go on and have all those really happy moments in life and not always be thinking about the sad thing you've gone through. But then also, as I move on in life and I get to, you know, have all these other cool moments or big moments or just live my life, obviously you're like, God, it'd be so cool if he was here to see this. And you know, I like, obviously, even, you know, I have a 1-year-old nephew. I'm like, he'd be the best granddad, you know? So
yeah.
There are times where it is really hard and I miss him a lot. But you can be very happy in life. You know, I'm just grateful I had him.
Yeah. And I think that you all continue to shine his light. And he would be so proud of you, Bonnie, and everything that you're doing, all of you, especially your beautiful wedding day. And when you were telling me about the morning of your wedding, I was like, that was what the morning of my wedding was like. Just so much fun, good vibes. Tell us about that day.
Like, I know everybody tells you that like your wedding is going to be the best day of your life and you won't believe the love you feel. But until you actually have it, I don't think you can understand like what it actually feels like. Like I woke up on the morning and I actually felt like I'd taken a Xanax. Like I've never been so calm in my whole life. Like my sisters were like, we're kind of waiting for like something to happen, like that she's like has a little bit of a wobble or something. But the whole day I was just like, it was like I really genuinely just felt pure love and gratitude and happiness, and everything just came together in that one morning. And I just knew like, this is going to be my perfect day. Like this is going to be that day in life that you look back and you just go, oh my God, like I got to have a day like that. Like it was just everything perfect. All the people I love there, and I really could feel so much love. And then knowing I'm getting to marry my best friend, like it was just, the only way to describe it is spectacular. Like it was just spectacular. And I constantly am just going back looking through my photos being like, wow, that was a dream. How did that even happen? Like,
yeah, and the photos are absolutely gorgeous in your dress. And could you feel your dad's presence with you? Like, do you ask for signs ever?
Yeah, I do ask for signs. It's funny. I feel like I'm torn in two. Like sometimes I ask for signs for certain things, and then other times like I creep myself out and I'm like, if you dare give me a sign now, I'm going to be really freaked out. So don't dare me. So, but like I think my dad is in my family. I don't even really need to be like conscious in wanting to be like, oh, is he here? Does he know I'm getting married? I'm telling you now, like my dad's not missing my wedding day. I know he saw me get married. Like there's just no doubt about it in my mind. But he's in my siblings, so it just I can feel him all the time.
That's amazing. And you tell me that it's an end of an era for your family as you moved on from the family home. You've all gone from the place where you called home for so many years. What was it like closing that chapter for you all, or for you, Bonnie?
I think it's a strange one. It's like you kind of think, oh, you're just, you know, like I moved out 3 years ago. I didn't even have anything left there, really. Well, I thought, like, it's just, to be honest, like it's still quite fresh. So I am feeling these last few weeks, I'm on a little bit of shaky ground. Like I'm trying to kind of come to terms with everything. It's a really exciting time, but it's also, you know, it brings up a lot of emotions. Obviously, like it's, you know, the last place that I lived with my dad. It's holds so many memories. Like I was brought home from the hospital to this house. I had my first date with John in this house. There's so much. There's Christmas. We were the house for the parties, whether it was like family parties, birthday parties, you know, night out parties. Like that house, it has seen everything. If walls could talk. So it means a lot. And like, you know, like even as we left, it, so many friends and came over to actually say goodbye to the house. So that was so cool that like it doesn't just mean that to us, like it's meant so much to so many people. So I'm like, wow, we really got our mileage out of it.
Yeah. And did you do anything to say goodbye, all of you together?
We had a brunch together. So we would have brunches and stuff a lot in the house. So we had a big brunch together, which was really nice. And then my mom took full advantage and had us all over, like clearing the place out for, like, she really, really took advantage of us. So I spent a lot more time there over the last few weeks than I have in a long time. So, but it was nice. But yeah, I guess that's kind of like another thing in life where you just, it's almost like you shed, like a snake, like you're shedding another layer. And this is a time now for evolving, really.
Yeah. And even what you said there about you're on shaky ground, I think it's so great to be aware of where you're at, because I think sometimes for a lot of people, busyness can take over and you may feel a certain way, but are you too busy to even notice sometimes? And therefore, if you ignore that shaky ground, are you heading for illness or, you know, anxiety or whatever it may be? So when you're on that shaky ground, are you able to kind of reach to the toolkit? Are you able to reassess where you're at? Are you able to kind of take a little bit more care of yourself?
Yeah, I think I'm, in the last few years, I'm hyper aware of my own emotions. I can really, because I used to, like, I used to just pretend I had one emotion and it's happy and that was it. Like nobody ever saw me cry, ever. I never cried in front of people. I would never tell somebody if I was feeling anxious. I would never tell anyone if I was feeling down.
Is that even your family, Bonnie?
Yeah, I think, I don't even know where I got it from, because like my parents were always very like, you know, how are you feeling? And like, it wasn't as if it was like, you know, push your emotions deep down. But it was just like everyone used to always be like, yeah, well, you're the real tough cookie, you know. And like, it's funny because I'm like, I actually don't know if I am. Like I'm actually quite an emotional person. But for so, so long, I just pretended I'm only happy. And I think in the last few years, as I've gotten a bit older, I'm like, it's okay to have a range of emotions. Like, you can be happy, yeah. you can be angry, you can be sad. There's reasons for emotions. And I think I had like a lot of anxiety a few years ago, and I still get it. Like, it's a work in progress, but I definitely feel like I'm so much better now because I'm just honest about how I'm feeling. Like, I don't suppress it all. And I feel like if you suppress, it just comes out like a volcano then. And that's why I would get so anxious or upset about things. And now I'm like, I'm just on more of a level playing field now that I'm like just honest with my emotions. Like right now, like I'm a little on shaky ground at the moment, but I know, like, as you said, I have a toolbox of things that I do that get me through things. And I know I'll be fine at the end of it, and I'll evolve, and I'll probably be an even better version of myself by the end of it because I've gone through another little something. So
thank you so much for listening to this podcast with Bonnie, and I hope you're enjoying it. A big thank you to L'Oreal Professional for supporting the Good Glow this season. They believe in the powerful combination of advanced research and professional expertise to give you the hair you've always wanted. Their most innovative products are used and approved by some of the greatest names in hairdressing, allowing them to be at the head of both trends and technology. And the SteamPod 3.0 just got better, with up to 91% less damage, up to 2 times faster, and up to 2 times smoother styling. So this summer, what's it going to be? The big blow-dry effect or Hollywood waves? You can shop at all L'Oreal Professional partner salons, including petermark.ie. It's funny that you say there, I was always the tough cookie. I think we can label ourselves as certain things, can't we? So like, I always label myself as the type of person who didn't exercise. So therefore, as I moved through my life, I would never exercise because I just told myself I'm not that type of person. So, you know, you being the tough cookie, you know, from a young age doesn't mean that as you move into your 30s that you have to still be that tough cookie that you always told yourself you were.
I don't even know. I really don't know where it came from, but I think everyone used to say, you're the tough cookie. Ice Queen Bonnie, she won't cry at anything. Heart of stone. Like, literally. And so I think because people then kind of said this about me, I was like, okay, well, now I almost have to live up to it. Like, I didn't even cry. I didn't even cry, I think, at my dad's funeral, because I was like, well, I've got to be the strong one, the tough one. You know, I've got to be here for everyone. I can't show that I'm feeling rocky today. I've got to power on and power through. And it was this thing of like, just keep going. Like, that does nobody any favors. And I think in the last few years, I've definitely become so much more self-aware about how I feel, and just also being compassionate to myself and knowing like it's okay to not feel 100% 100% of the time. That's normal. That's life. Yeah. Like, and how boring would life be if we were just the same emotion all the time?
I think you're really on this kind of journey of self-discovery, which is amazing. What's in the toolkit, Bonnie? Like, I know you meditate. Actually, there was this amazing meditation in this book, Miracle Morning, this morning. So like, you know, the way people would say, oh, like, I don't have time to meditate for a half an hour, or I don't have the Calm app, or meditation isn't for me. There was this little meditation that he said to do, which is literally just sitting down and saying, I breathe in love, I breathe out peace. I breathe in love, I breathe out peace. And I did it for a couple of minutes before this podcast, and I actually found it so lovely. So meditation is in your toolkit. Like, how much of it do you do a day?
I try to do it every day. And whether that's like I get in a quick 5 minute meditation in the morning, or I have just like little things that I'll quickly, if I feel like I'm rushing, like they're the times I think you actually need it the most, but I will try and just sit down and like I have little kind of mantras. Like, I always start the day by saying, I lead this day with love and compassion. I am open for what the universe holds for me today. And I'll try and say that a few times at the start of each day. And then there's just like, I have loads of little things that I feel help me when I'm feeling down. You know, I'm OCD. So if I write a list, it makes me feel so much better. If I visually see, okay, this is what's on my list, and I tick things off, it makes me feel so much better. And I feel sometimes I'm like, oh God, am I chaotic? Because I can see all the things in my head. And I'm like, mm-hmm. if I get it down on paper, sometimes it just makes me feel a bit more centered. Or small things like even, you know, knowing it's okay to, like, if I finish my work and it's 3:30, I don't have to do something for another 2 hours just because other people finish at 5:30. I can take a little bit of time to relax and chill out and make myself a nice cup of coffee. Like, it's the little things in my life that actually bring me probably like the most comfort or joy. Just saying that little thing in the morning sets me up. Having a really nice cup of coffee, if I'm feeling a little bit like, you know, running around the place like a mad thing, I'm like, if I just sit and just have this coffee, or like, you know, talking. I just think, you know, if I'm feeling shaky, talking to somebody, like you might not solve your problem, but just talking about it with somebody makes me feel so much better. Whether that's like calling my mom and saying this happened, or like saying to John, like just venting about something, you always just feel so much better.
And who's your go-to person if you're in crisis? Who do you ring first?
John, for everything. Yeah. Oh my God, like thank God for him. Whether it's something actually catastrophic, nothing's really catastrophic, I feel, but whether it's something massive that's wrong and I really need help with, to like, oh my God, like these shoes are not matching this outfit tonight. Like help. Like he's my like go-to for everything. Like, so I'm very lucky, yeah.
How are you with end of chapters? Like, are you... You know, this is, as you said, over the last few weeks has been the end of an enormous chapter. How are you feeling about the upcoming chapter?
I think initially I meet things with a little bit of resistance. But once I get through that little moment, I've actually started to learn that, like, I think change is one of the most beautiful things that can happen in life is change, and you evolve, and I'm really excited for it. Like, even like the last thing that would have been like a big change in my life would be my nephew coming along. And I guess like when he was coming along, I was super, super excited, but also you're kind of going, oh my God, but like, what about our little sibling clique now? Is that going to kind of disperse now that, like, you know, one of us is becoming a parent? And is this like, you know, is what way is our world going to change now? And like, you're kind of a little bit like nervous as to what's to come. And then like the thing happens and you're like, life just got so much better. So I think like sometimes you don't know what's around the corner and you might be nervous about it, but like the thing that's around the corner, it might just be 10 times better than what you're even sitting in right now.
Tell us about, you have decided to go away at the end of the summer. How long is it for?
So we're going to go away for just over 6 weeks. And that's going to be our honeymoon, actually. So I've never traveled. Like, the longest I've been away for is 3 weeks, you know, family holidays. I never did interrailing or went on a J1. I always worked for the summers at home here. So we were just like, do you know what? Why not? Now's the time. Let's just go away, the two of us, and do a big trip, go see places we've never seen before. And I'm just like, I'm so excited. Like, I'm really excited. I've like never done anything like this in my life. And I know to a lot of people, they might be like, it's only 6 weeks to travel. But like, to me, I've never done anything like it.
And will you keep up your mornings when you go traveling?
Yeah, I will. I will. Like, even when I was just away for my wedding for 3 weeks, like I was up at the crack of dawn, we'd go on our walk and we'd get our coffee. And I just think, I don't know, there's something about my morning routine that it just settles me no matter where I am. Like, I do my routine and it's, I guess it's even like a little piece of home. Like, it just makes me feel settled. Yeah.
It brings you back to yourself. And that's the home feeling, isn't it? It's like you are home when you're doing that, when you're in line with your values. So we know about your morning routine. Does that mean then your nighttime routine, that you're going to bed before most?
So I try and get into bed at about 9, with the hopes that I'm okay. Fast asleep by 10, hopefully. So like I have like a little thing on my phone that like switches off the notifications by like 9:15. So I can't get any texts or anything, because I used to actually sleep really badly. Like that was one of the reasons as well why I started getting up so early, is I used to, it'd be 2 a.m. and I'd be lying there wide awake, and that brings on anxiety in itself when you can't sleep. So like the getting up early, I'm exhausted by the time 9 o'clock rolls around. So I'm like ready for bed and I just sleep so much better.
Tell us about the last time. I was talking to Courtney Smith on the podcast, and we were speaking about these 5-star moments in our day. So like, you know, eating a chocolate cake or having a cup of tea in the sun. So I wanted to ask you, Bonnie, just about your last 5-star moment and when that was.
Oh my God. Okay. So I feel like, and I really actually mean this, like the teeniest, tiniest things throughout my day actually are my 5-star moments. So like, you know, my cup of coffee in the morning is a 5-star moment for me. Like sitting down in the evenings and having my dinner and actually facing John and talking while we have our dinner, that's a 5-star moment for me. But if I was to pick just like my last one where I was like, this is like a really good one, yesterday was such a beautiful sunny day. And we went out, myself and John, on his Vespa, and we just drove along the coast road the whole way to Howth to meet his family for brunch, and we met them out there. And just as I was on the back of the bike, the sun was shining, and I was just like, this is life. What more could you want? Pure happiness. So that was definitely a 5-star moment for me. Probably the best one of the weekend.
Oh, that's so fab. And just for anyone like going through a tough time, I'm sure you get messages on Instagram all the time from people asking you, you know, this is happening, or I'm going through a period of grief, or, you know, I find it hard to get out of bed in the morning. Like, what do you usually say to them?
I can only give advice on things that I like, advice from my point of view. But for somebody, say, who's maybe going through grief or something, I usually always say, like, you, and this may not be the answer they want to hear, but I'm like, you will be okay. And you don't have to feel guilty about it either. I think a lot of people sit in the guilt of moving on in your life. Like all the firsts are very, very scary moments. And you almost don't want to go through those firsts because it means that you're further away from that moment that you lost the person. I don't even know if that really makes sense. But
no,
like,
it absolutely does.
But I just say that, like, you know, you will be okay. It's all right to feel the way you do, and to know that life will be really amazing again. And even that first time you laugh, that will let you know, okay, like life can be happy again. Just because you went through a really difficult thing, it doesn't mean there's like life is going to be difficult for you. Like I actually think it means that, like, you know, we got thrown something really, really hard in life to be given the most incredible life after it. So it's just what you do with it.
That's so beautiful, Bonnie. Thank you so much for that. I love the way you look at life. I love following you on Instagram and seeing your mornings, and yeah, just following your journey. It's gorgeous. So thanks for sharing so much with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Georgie. Honestly, like, I just love your podcast so much, and I'm obsessed with everyone who you've had on. So it's an honor to be a part of it today.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode with the amazing Bonnie Ryan. I'm so grateful to her for being so open and sharing her story with us today. As I said at the start of the podcast, if you're interested in our retreat, you can find the link in this episode's show notes, or you can drop me a DM on Instagram and I'll send you the link there. So thanks a million for tuning in, and I will see you next week.